First of all, I'd like to say what a great pleasure it is that this day has arrived and that the process of establishing these licenses is taking such a large qualitative step forward, both through this meeting and the conclusions that will come from it, and also the presence with us of such a significant body of expertise as we have here at this moment, but in the room as a whole, which is going to make a huge contribution to shaping the evolution of these licences and their role in stimulating knowledge work of all kinds in New Zealand and overseas. I would like to make a couple of introductory remarks in order to, at least in part, offer a brief explanation why it is that Te Whāinga Aronui, the Council for the Humanities, has taken the affiliate position in this project. The project, as you must know, derives from a proposal in the National Digital Content Strategy that there should be a licensing system of this kind available to New Zealand content producers. And for that, we have to particularly thank Penny Carnaby as the Chief Executive of the National Library and the general range of leadership the National Library has exercised in the development of this National Digital Content Strategy. It's that that's most particularly important for the sector that the Council represents, a sector which we are trying to find an appropriate general label for. Arts, Culture and Humanities Aronui describes the spectrum. The kinds of knowledge that spectrum produces is harder to find a categorical term for. We are using the term cultural knowledge as a way of trying to identify that spectrum. And you'll find in the conference pack a sheet about the Council, about its mission and goals, and also some information about the Humanities Research Network, the board of which is the managing body within the Council that oversees this development. I want particularly in that context to acknowledge two members of the board in respect of the development of this particular project, Daniel Stripe of Indy Media, who was responsible, I think, for creating the Creative Commons New Zealand list, which has been a very important means of initially opening up communication with an interest community for Creative Commons in New Zealand in the process of getting to where we are today. And Jill Wilson, who's here today, who's the director of CWA New Media, who is providing not only providing the internet base for our work through the Creative Commons website, but also provides a great deal wider range of support and interest in the context of the communities of knowledge which Creative Commons is most particularly likely to engage. Now, there's a list, a sheet in your folder as well, which demonstrates identifies the basic partnership arrangement at the moment for Creative Commons New Zealand. And I want to thank those organisations for their involvement, but I'd like to say something else about that, because this is more than just an acknowledgement of sponsorship. If you look at the organisations listed there, you'll see that they together represent, in a crucial way, they represent the cultural and social value of this society's stocks of knowledge. Organisations which are committed in various ways to the conservation of those stocks of knowledge and to its dissemination. Organisations which exist within a public good and public interest framework in respect of this knowledge work, knowledge activity on the basis and part of the collectivity of New Zealand. Economic value of this knowledge is a crucial factor, of course, although it's not yet easy to measure what that economic value might be. But it's emphasising the cultural and social value is what I want to put in the foreground here, because that's also where a crucial link with the role of the Council for the Humanities becomes apparent. The legal team, two members of whom are represented on the panel this morning, Andrew Matangi and Susie Frankel, have made an enormous contribution, as you must know, to getting us where we are today. Without the licences, we would be nowhere. And although I'm not yet sure that the licences themselves are available online, Katarina says that she might try and find out whether later in the day they have come to be online. We hope they might be. But it's been a very important and difficult piece of work that the legal team has done, and I should mention Paul Sumpner from Auckland, who isn't able to be here today. We all of us, insofar as we come to use the system, will have ongoing gratitude to these people for the contribution that they have made. And it's also a particular pleasure to me that Katerina is able to be with us today. Katerina has worked as a kind of guiding spirit, and that has a certain sort of resonance, given that all our communication to this point has been via the internet. Kind of guiding spirit for Creative Commons International in respect of the evolution of the licenses, the issues that had to be discussed, and enormously generous and facilitative approach to how that work should be accomplished. We've had a very generous welcome into the community of Creative Commons International. There was one other point I want to make before going on to the panel, and that's to go back a bit. To go back a bit before globalization, before internet, even almost, I think, before the military-industrial complex, which has a lot to do with the internet and where we are at the moment. The going back is going back to a book published in 1953 called Innovation. This particular book is by a man called Barnett, and what he was concerned about in that book was to investigate the nature of innovation and locate it within a cultural and a psychological context rather than a primarily economic context. In his account of innovation, he said, first of all, we are all innovators. It's in the nature of being human to be an innovator. This wasn't specifically a category of work owned by corporations or carried out by industries. Innovation was fundamental to cultural change, to the maintenance and development of society. And in that process, he also argued, therefore, that innovation is in fact a mental process, and it's based on the kinds of knowledge, the kinds of representation that are characteristic of those mental processes, based on ideas. He also went on to say that the capability of an innovator was a function of that person's access to a cultural inventory. What he meant by cultural inventory was the stock of knowledge that was available to that person to inform their thinking, the sources of ideas that were available to them in order to build new ideas, new constructs, new possibilities. And I think that way of thinking, 1953, an analysis that has nothing to do with the way innovation is directly accounted for at the moment in government policy, but which looks to a broader basis, the kind of basis that I believe Creative Commons is actually also deeply concerned about and looking towards. That basis, in other words, in which the cultural inventory, the stocks of knowledge available to individuals and societies to think with, is the core and the key to future evolution, innovation of all kinds, including economically valuable innovation, but most especially the kind of innovation that allows open and sustainable societies to manage their futures. It's in that context that I think, for myself, this process is extremely important. And once again, I'd like to thank our panel for being here today and for providing a range of openings into the discussion, which we're going to develop from here in the months ahead as we continue to have workshops and so on around the country in order to explain and promote this new system. Now, we're going to... We've asked the speakers to say a little bit about themselves when they begin, so I'm not going to engage in introductions. We will start with Andrew, who has a principal role in the writing of the New Zealand licences. Susan Corbett will talk about the use of such licences. Susie Frankel will open up a discussion, begin the process of a discussion of something which we think could be extremely important and interesting, which is whether there should be an Indigenous Creative Commons licence. And Katerina will conclude the speaking part of the session like that by placing what we're talking about in an international context. So, Andrew, thank you.
I'm really pleased that there's so many people here today. I was a bit concerned that there'd be me and the panel and maybe one or two others, but... Thank you for coming. I'm Andrew Matangi. I'm a commercial lawyer here in Wellington. I'm not from a government department, although I do work for a lot of government departments, including the National Library on occasions, in relation to copyright. I also have provided copyright advice to organisations like Learning Media, which is a state-owned enterprise that produces learning materials for children and others. I'll be hopefully commendably brief this morning. I just want to run through what the New Zealand licences are for at present and how we came to put them together. Now, you won't have seen it yet, but that is one of the six New Zealand Creative Commons licences, and I'm sorry I don't have it on a PowerPoint for you to see. I'm not going to pass it round. You'll just have to wait and see it on the internet. But there are six. I'm not going to read them out, although I could read one of them out in a relatively short space of time because they're commendably plain English, and that's not just down to me. There are two groups of three licences. One group of three allows both commercial and non-commercial use. The other group of three allow only non-commercial use. So, and in each group, there are three versions of the license, or three types of license. Now, forgive me if a number of you know a lot of this already, because you might have used Creative Commons licenses in the past, but for those of you who don't, hopefully this will assist you in understanding what the license elements of these licenses are. License elements. Each Creative Commons license has one or more license elements which describe the essential features of the license. The broadest license is the BY license, the BY license, or the attribution license. Now, attribution means that the principal obligation on the part of the licensee is in using the licensed work that they must attribute or identify the licensor or the original author. Okay? The scope of what you can do with the BY license, or the work licensed under the BY license, is very broad. You can copy it, you can distribute it, you can adapt it, as in you can produce new works based upon that original work as the base. You can't sublicense the work, but then anybody can really go back to the original work and get their own Creative Commons, get access to that work on the same Creative Commons basis. So you don't really need a sublicense right. The other variations, the BY-ND license, or an attribution but no derivatives license, means that you can do the same things as you can do under the BY license. However, you can't make adaptations. You can't make new works using that original work as the base. Any questions there? Now, it's called the no derivatives, or ND, because derivatives is the US term for adaptation. So a derivative work in America is an adaptation, which is what we call them here in New Zealand. Now, before I go on, any questions there? No? Okay. And the last form of license is the BY SA license. So the attribution share alike license. Now, that means that you must attribute, you must identify the original author. You're allowed to make adaptations, you're allowed to copy, you're allowed to distribute. However, when you do make your adaptation, you must share that adaptation, you must make it available on similar or identical license terms. Okay, so to summarise, six licences, that sounds a lot. They're divided into two groups. There's two groups of three. Each group of three is substantially the same. However, one group is for both commercial and non-commercial uses. The other group of licences is for non-commercial only. Okay, furious scribbling. Some people tapping out text messages. Okay, any thoughts before I go on, just very briefly, on how we put the licences together? Now, the licences aren't just down to me and Paul Sumpter and Susie Frankel. When Brian approached Paul and I to look at putting the New Zealand licences together, the first thought was, well, where's another jurisdiction which has done all the work so that we wouldn't have to do a heck of a lot of work? The natural jurisdiction to choose for New Zealand is the UK, because the New Zealand Copyright Act is based upon, very largely, on the original UK 1988 Act. So the first thing I did was look up the Creative Commons website, go into the UK jurisdiction, and boof, there you are. There's six licences that look remarkably similar to the ones that we've got here today. Now, we did have to adjust those licences for the New Zealand context in some respects. We also, because the UK licences are version 2.5, which is where the Australian licences are at, we also were encouraged by Katarina to version up the the original UK license from 2.5 to version 3. And so that was where some of the work went in from the New Zealand end. We also tackled some fairly thorny issues, it turned out, issues of how we dealt with moral rights, whether that should be different than other countries, and also issues relating to how do we reflect the Creative Commons International policy on how we refer to collecting societies, organisations like APRA, and how they, if at all, how do we refer to those organisations in the New Zealand licences. So we versioned up to version 3, so we adjusted the UK base licences 2.5 up to version 3. We then consulted with, on a sort of a progressive basis, with the Australian legal team that deal with the Australian CC licences, and also with Katerina, and we got to where we are today, which is hopefully the licences will be up on the net today or possibly early next week. Any questions? Would you like me to give examples of how you might use them? Hi.
Thanks, Lee Buckle from Otago Polytechnic. I just have a question. I'm trying to answer it through the computer, but it's quicker to ask you straight.
Sure. I'm not charging.
Yeah. Some of the criticisms of the US licences, in particular the Creative Commons Attribution Licence, I'm only discovering now the subtle differences between the jurisdictions, thanks to your talk. And one is the way in which we attribute the original author. The US one, from memory, says that you must attribute the original author in the manner in which they require you to attribute, whereas the UK one seems to be just more generic and saying you must credit the original author, which thankfully is less confusing. So I'm wondering if the New Zealand license will, in the website process in which you set up your license, whether it will prompt you to state who needs to be attributed, which would be a solution to the American one, I think, just a little field that you could say the attribution must go to me or my organisation or whatever you want to put in there. And then that would happen into the stamp that you put on your website, similarly for print materials.
Probably less a legal, well, it's partly a legal question, partly a sort of a technical question as to how the licences will be set up. Certainly, you mentioned that, you know, does the licensor require you to attribute their organisation? In as much as this is an attribution of the author as opposed to the author's organisation. So, it's building on the moral right to be identified, then it's the author rather than their employer, for example, that you'd attribute. But it really depends upon how the licences are set up as to whether there's an easy way of the licensor specifying how they wish to be identified. I'm not sure if that answers the question, but it really depends upon how they're set up technically on the internet, I think.
How was the distinction between commercial and non-commercial defined?
It says you should only use it for non-commercial uses. There is a definition of non-commercial in the non-commercial licences.
Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah. Could you pass? And it's largely the same as the English license. So just forgive me, I'll read out some legalese. Non-commercial means not primarily intended for or directed towards commercial advantage or private monetary compensation. Okay.
I'd like to briefly add something here on the non-commercial commercial issue. We are also working on a kind of more specified definition of what non-commercial means, because this definition is a good start, but it doesn't really help you if you are thinking of, maybe a website or a blog post or whatever, and then there's maybe a kind of advertisement posted. Does it mean that the whole website would be considered as being commercial, and all these little tricky things that are not in one concrete definition right now. And Creative Commons will be working on that over the next year to try to figure out and to do research on what exactly should be seen as commercial use in the view of the Creative Commons community. But so far we haven't done it, and it was kind of intentionally because Creative Commons always had the position that first probably we should start and see what the community thinks of what could be commercial and not commercial, and what would be the input and the most also criticism and ideas that we get from the outside of what should be considered as commercial and non-commercial. That's one of the reasons why we, from the very first beginning, we kind of postponed this discussion of finding a concrete definition. But I think that over the next year, it's one of the main purposes we will be working on. Thank you.
And it's important to remember that we went looking, we looked for a comparable jurisdiction to New Zealand, the licenses are based upon the UK license is based upon the CC international policy decisions that they've taken as to what rights should be granted, what restrictions should be there. And as CC international makes policy decisions based around the community discussion on things like how should we define non-commercial, the New Zealand licenses will be revised on a progressive basis to version 3.01 and greater to accommodate those changes. And so the New Zealand licenses must and are expected to keep pace with how CC International is revising all jurisdiction licenses and what they call the unported license. Hi.
Hi. Can I ask a question, please, about collaboratively built things?
Sure. Thank you.
We've working on a Keti project, which Penny talked about, Keti Horowhenua, and where we've got people writing material, say an article or a Wikipedia type article, and they're the original creator of that, but then people come along and edit that and change it and add to it and expand it. So who do you attribute it to? Is it the most recent editor, or is it the first one, or is it the three in between?
One point that Susie made earlier in the day was that these Creative Commons licenses state very clearly that someone or some people, some identified group of people, are the owner of the economic rights, the copyright in a particular work. So where you're talking about a wiki type situation, you will need to, in some contractual way, through the terms and conditions of the wiki, have to mediate what the who will be attributed, if anyone, as being the author, and possibly the way, somebody else may well have views on this, but possibly the better way of dealing with it is for the wiki terms themselves to not only be the terms on which a contributor coming along and changing the section on X has or does not have ownership rights in any part of the wiki, but also the terms on which the wiki is made available, and that might be on one of the CC licenses. So it's a rather more complicated question when you've got a number of people. So you have to in some way mediate or moderate the way that they participate, and they should agree to terms as to, do I as a contributor get ownership rights at all, or if I do, on what basis are they made available? Is that material made available? Next one up.
Is there any provision for interoperability between the GNU Free Software Foundation BSD license and CNC?
Sorry, I didn't.
Okay, Creative Commons is one approach to open sourcing, effectively, from the point of view of intellectual property. There's the GNU licensing scheme. There's the BSD licensing scheme. There are these different variations. Someone who's making decisions to open source their work might want some interoperability. Maybe be able to have different channels by which they publish their work. Is there any role in that area?
We are also, I mean, it's a long and ongoing process, but we are, of course, in very close contact with the FSF, and we are trying, I mean, the next step hopefully would be to more focus on the FDL, right, which is also for content and not for software, or drafted, not for software, to make these coming closer and hopefully one day interoperable. I'm running the international project, which I will explain later, so I'm not in the kind of managing position to give you details about what's going on, but all I know is that, we are working on that.
Thank you, Andrew. I think we'll move to Susan Corbett to talk about the use of such a license in New Zealand. Thank you, Susan.